once spoken. May we hear, Father, the word of the Lord tonight. May it not just be a sermon. Let it not just be a good word, but let it be a word, Father, where there is an impartation. Lord, where there is instruction. Lord, where there is inspiration. In the name of Jesus. And a faith-filled church said, amen. You can be seated, everybody. And I want to speak as much to our college students here. By the way, anybody who has ever been through Wave Leadership College in full-time first year, second year, or our night college, if anyone has been through our college, would you please stand right now? Any student who's been through our college, look all over the building. Anyone who's been through our leadership college, wonderful. Amen. Was it worth it? Yes. Praise the Lord. Yasmina, in case you didn't know, you can be seated, guys. Yasmina is Sharon's assistant. And just the other day, I've been perplexed for quite a while. I've been looking for a Mont Blanc pen that was given to me as a gift, a very valuable pen, I think worth around $500. And I kept thinking, what happened to my Mont Blanc pen? And just yesterday, or the day before yesterday, there is my daughter, Alyssa, who is 20 months pregnant, sitting at Yasmina's desk, and she's got a Mont Blanc pen. And I realized, that's my Mont Blanc pen. So I said to my daughter, that's mine. And she goes, I got it out of Yasmina's drawer. So Yasmina, if you didn't know, is Egyptian. She is worse than Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. She stole my Mont Blanc pen. She said to me, I didn't even know what a Mont Blanc pen was until you said it. But the point is, it's good to have my pen back. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to not just the students here tonight who are graduating and the students who are continuing to do their studies. But this morning I started a mini-series on this idea of faith and talking about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anything that's not faith, the Bible says, is sin. Anybody enjoy the word this morning? All right, who's going to work with me here tonight? Amen? Just give me an amen every now and again. It'll be encouraging. And so we talked this morning about how that when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And Peter never walked on the water as much as he walked on the words of Jesus. And it wasn't the water that held Peter, because water won't hold you, but the word of God will hold you. We talked about in Mark chapter 11, you got to have the God kind of faith. And if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will be done if you believe what you say. And so we've got to have the God kind of faith. Keno, you should have exercised that kind of faith tonight, because it took him almost 3 hours to get here tonight from Richmond. And all you had to do was say, speak to that traffic, be thou removed. Hampton Roads, Bridge Tunnel, and all the way back in the name of, well, we're just glad you made it in Jesus' name. Have the God kind of faith. God spoke into darkness, into chaos, and he spoke to that world which was dark and formless, void, without any order. And God spoke and said, let there be light. You can speak to your marriage if you have the God kind of faith. You can speak to your bank account. Come on, if you have the God kind of faith. You can speak to your finances. It may be dark, it may be void, it may be empty, it may be in chaos. But you can say, let there be blessing, if you have the God kind of faith. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 13. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of... All right, that was a good chance to really shout praise out. A sacrifice of... praise. Now, listen to this. It's not a sacrifice of praise if everything's going well. A sacrifice has got to be something that costs you. I mean, to give something away that has no value to you is easy to do. What makes it, a sacrifice is when it costs you something. Do you know, in just a few weeks' time, Josh mentioned about our provision for the house offering. Can I tell you something? We're going to believe God. Every one of you should have got one of these. Let's dream together. And we're believing God, what we are believing God for as we sow an offering. But can I tell you something? You want to make sure that that offering is something that's got sacrifice attached to it. Because if you give God your leftovers, He will not accept leftovers. It's got to be something that is a sacrifice. Come on. It's got to, if it's just a cheap sheep, God wouldn't accept it. And in the New Testament, our sacrifice of praise is to say the same thing that God has already said. Homologia, which means the same word. That is the fruit of our lips that confess His name. Look what the Bible says. It says that we're encouraged. That says we walk by faith and not by sight. So we talked about you got to close your eyes to the facts and open your eyes to the truth. The facts might be this, but the truth of the matter is, the facts are you've got a negative report from your doctor. The facts are that your bank account is what it says it is, but you've got to close your eyes to the facts and open your eyes to the truth. We live, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and so also speak. You see, faith is a spirit. Faith speaks. Faith is voice activated. Luke chapter 8, the Bible talks about Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. And then the disciples on their way out there got freaked out in a storm. And they said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And Jesus said, where is your faith? And we know where their faith was. We heard them speak it. Have the God kind of faith. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They believed they were going to drown. They believed in the storm. They believed in what was happening around them. When Peter walked on the water, his eyes were on Jesus. But then the Bible says, but seeing the wind, seeing the waves, he began to sink because he took his eyes off of Christ. Can I encourage everybody here? Believe God for a spirit of faith. Don't just have a moment of faith. Don't just have a story of what God did in 1985, but be somebody who has a spirit of faith. Amen. The Bible says the good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. In Romans, the Bible says, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. I love that verse. Against all hope. Can I encourage you? If you're against all hope, sounds to me like you're in a position for God to come through. If you're against all hope, can I tell you something? You can in hope believe. The Bible says that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He was 100 years old. Come on. And Sarah's womb was barren and dead. And Sarah was 90. But against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. And it was credited unto him as righteousness. He faced the fact, but he never wavered in unbelief. Amen. Romans, I love that scripture in Romans. But let's go on now and let's talk about, that was a very quick rendition of this morning's message. But I want to make sure we're all caught up to speed. Everybody say, got it? Say, got it? Now watch now, because tonight I want to talk to you about visualization. I want to talk to you about the ability to see. You see, we live in a three-dimensional world. We are ruled, listen to this, by our five senses. Our five senses are taste, touch, sight, smell, and hearing. And there is actually a fourth dimension to the three-dimensional world in which we live in, but we are controlled by our five senses. You with me here? And that fourth dimension is a dimension that I believe is the principle of how faith works. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fixing our what? Okay, that was your chance to really jump in there loud. Fixing our on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, enjoying, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of God, considered him endured such opposition from sinners that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Here's what the Bible says, that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Do you know what it's talking about? It's talking about the fourth dimension. You can't see it with the natural eye. You can't hear it with the natural ear. You can't touch it with the natural hands. You can't smell it with the natural senses. But can I tell you, it's just as real as the chair you're sitting on. It's just as powerful as the sound you're hearing. There is a fourth dimension. And the Bible says we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Look at this, Genesis 5, verse 24. It says, Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Can I introduce you to the fourth dimension tonight? Can I show you tonight? The Bible says we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You can't see them, but they're there. Can I encourage you tonight? The Bible talks about Enoch had a walk with God. God was so into him that God says, do not go to the grave. Do not die. Just come straight to heaven. I don't know about you, but that would kind of freak me out a little bit, wouldn't it you? Like God's going, this man's a good man. I'm just going to bring him. We're not going to wait for the brother to die. We're just going to take him straight to heaven. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Come straight to heaven. Do you know what it's talking about? It's talking about that fourth dimension. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 11, as they were walking along and talking together, this is about Elijah and Elisha, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses and fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind, and Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. He took hold of his garment and he tore it in two. These are moments when we get a glimpse of the fourth dimension. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. He went in to the fourth dimension. The Bible talks about Elisha. He was taken up. These people did not go to the grave. There is no burial site for these people. There is no tombstone. There's no crematorium. There's nothing. They were literally taken straight to heaven. The Bible says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of all those who went before us and lived a life of faith. Amen. The Bible puts it this way. Another way of describing it, this fourth dimension, is an open heaven. I think about the different times in the Bible when Jesus was baptized. And then all of a sudden it says heaven opened. And the fourth dimension spoke. And God spoke out of the heavens. And God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Bible talks about Stephen when he was being stoned. And it says that heaven, Stephen wasn't stoned, he was being stoned. And the Bible says he saw heaven open and saw Jesus standing at the right side of the Father. Well, the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right side of the Father. But when Stephen was being put to death, it got Jesus' attention. And in a moment again, we pull back the layers of the three-dimensional world and we see something of a heavenly realm. And we hear the voice of God speaking, this is my son. We see Jesus standing as Stephen's being stoned. We see John writing the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos as heaven opened and he saw something incredible. Can I encourage tonight? The Bible talks about Jacob and how the Bible says heaven opened and Jacob saw angels ascending and descending. And the Bible says, he said, the Lord was here and I knew it not. God gave Jacob a glimpse of eternity. God gave Jacob a glimpse, an insight of what was to come. Amen. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. Every human being is spiritual as well as physical. Every human being has a connection that is only connected spiritually and with God to that fourth dimension. You see, we are physical and we are spiritual. The Bible shows us another instance of, if you like, an insight into that fourth dimension beyond this three-dimensional world in which we live in. And the Bible talks about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says he transfigured. And there he broke out of his humanity and revealed his deity. And the Bible says in that moment that Peter, James, and John saw Jesus talking in his glory with Moses and Elijah. Moses also, we don't really know what happened and how he died. And Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus, and we get a glimpse again of that heavenly realm that we are going to spend a lot more time living in heaven than we will ever here on planet Earth. We get so ruled. Yeah, give a Lord a hand if you're going to give him a hand. We are so ruled by this three-dimensional world that we live in. We are so controlled by it. Everything we do is measured by time, by seasons, by life. But can I tell you, God is trying to get us all ready for heaven. And heaven is more real than this three-dimensional world in which we live in. We will all live for eternity in heaven or in hell. I believe there is a heaven and I believe there is a hell. If Jesus said it, I believe it's true. In other words, whatever we do here on earth, whether it be 70 years or the amount of years that the Lord gives us, it's just a short period of time. But we make everything about what we do three-dimensional. If we could only live with eternity as the most important thing in our hearts, realizing we're going to live a whole lot longer and we're just trying to get you all ready for heaven. Can you say amen? Let me just give you this thought. The fourth dimension, I said it before, we live in a three-dimensional world, but there is another dimension. You see, I believe that dreams and vision are the language of the Holy Spirit. Dreams and vision are the language of the Holy Spirit. Joel 2:28, and afterward I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. This is the fourth dimension touching the three-dimensional world. This is God saying, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I mean, let me tell you right now that in the Old Testament, when Joel prophesied, he could only prophesy of what he saw was going to come. He could only write about what he saw was going to happen. We now live in the days that Joel talked about. And that is where heaven touches earth. And I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I love that. Acts chapter 2. And this is what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Friends, that is heaven, the fourth dimension, touching earth. And it says that you'll know when God pours out his Spirit, because there will be dreams and there will be vision. Can I tell you, the fourth dimension, the language of the Holy Spirit, is found in dreams and vision. And I want to just give you this thought about visualization, about the ability to see. Come on, someone say amen. Watch this. I want to show you another scripture here. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hey, God created the three-dimensional world in which we live in, and he created the heavens. He created both of them. There is real. Heaven is as real as the chair you're sitting on. God created it. And it says here, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Other translations put it this way. There was chaos. There was disorder. There was confusion. But look what the Bible says. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In the beginning, the Bible says, God created the heavens and the earth. the three-dimensional world in which we live in, and yet also that spirit realm, that heavenly realm. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering. Another translation puts it better. It says incubating. And what was there? Hovering, incubating, darkness, chaos, void, empty, confusing. And watch this. The spiritual world was hugging or incubating with the three-dimensional world. And God spoke and recreated the world. God spoke to what was darkness and chaos and confusion. And the Spirit of God was hovering, waiting for the Word of God to speak. It was hugging. It was incubating. And the three-dimensional world, when God spoke, God recreated the world. A new order was given. A new order was given when heaven touched earth. When God spoke, the Spirit of God spoke. Come on, someone say amen. And out of the old, new came. And out of death came forth life. Out of ugliness came beauty. Out of dirt and ugly came clean. Out of poverty, there was nothing on the earth. It was dark. It was formless. It was empty. And the Spirit of God was incubating. And God said, let there be. And all of a sudden, where there was no life and growth, all of a sudden there's life and there's growth. It's when heaven touches earth. Come on. I want to make sure that this realm is more real to us than even the realm in which we live in. Everything created was beautiful and wonderful by the incubation of the fourth dimension. You see, I believe that through dreams and visions and by envisioning, we can kick away the walls of limitation. By dreams and visions, we can kick away the walls of limitations. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, my favorite Bible verse that I love to quote, where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, where there is no progressive vision, where there is no ongoing revelation, people perish. Can I tell you something? If you have no vision, you're not being creative. If you stop being creative, you will perish. It is so important because visions and dreams are the language of the fourth dimension. The Holy Spirit communicates through them. So you can visualize a new song. You can visualize, if you're a songwriter, you can visualize a business growing and being blessed. If you can see it, you can have it. You can visualize a church that's healthy and vibrant and growing. You can visualize yourself. You can picture yourself healed and healthy and whole in the natural, in the three-dimensional world. It's dark. It's empty. It's chaotic. But my friend, if I can just open heaven tonight and get you to see what is made available from heaven, you'll see things differently. You see, sight is important. Genesis 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and then it was a delight to her eyes. Everybody say eyes. That the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took the fruit and she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband that was with her and he ate. This was forbidden food. But what did the devil do? The devil used, listen to this, vision as a tactic. Satan used vision as a tactic. He understands this fourth dimension. He understands the power of vision. He gave her a vision for something that was good to eat, and she bought in to an evil satanic vision. Now that's how cults work. That's how false religions work. That's how New Age, for people who are caught up in it, because the devil understands the perverted power of vision. That's how there's sin in the world today, because a satanic strategy to get people to see something that God did never want them to see. You see, the devil can only imitate. He cannot create. How important is sight? The Bible says, look at this. If seeing is important, look what the Bible says. If seeing is not important, then why did the Lord tell Lot never to look back at his wife? Genesis 19, verse 17. When they brought them outside, the one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Don't look back. Everybody say, don't look back. And do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Lust of the former life took a hold of her eyesight. And the Bible says she turned around one more time, longing for Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I tell you how important is it that we see the right things? Come on, am I talking to anybody here? So, I mean, here's the strategy God uses, by the way. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, it says, after he parted from Lot, look around from where you are, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, all the land that you see. Everything you see, I'll give it to you and your offspring forever. God said to Abraham, hey, come on, get out of where you are. Get away from Lot, because Lot was a problem. And if everywhere you see, I'll give it to you. How important is sight? God said to Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. He's 100 years old. 100 years old. Darkness, void, empty, incapable. But God gave him a picture and a vision of sons as the stars in the sky. And now the Spirit of God is hovering. It's incubating. And God recreated the world and made the world new. How did Abraham get past the fact that his body was 100 years old? Because the spirit world recreated a new man. Made him new. It doesn't matter about this three-dimensional body. God has recreated me. God has given me a vision. I may look old, but I'm not down. Vision that can recreate and gain control over the three-dimensional world. Can change the world in which you live. That's why vision keeps you young. That's why seeing is so important for every Christian, that we might have the eye of faith. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, he's preaching better than we're listening. You see, my friends, seeing is possession. Not just claim it, but you got to see it. This vision recreated Abraham and Sarah. So they were able, listen to this, even when they were old, it kept them young. Now let me prove it to you. Remember the time when Abraham, after this vision came and he saw it, and it recreated this 100-year-old man to have a vision to have children. It made them young again. Come on, just like the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth and recreated something new. Abraham turns to his wife, who's 90 years old, and says to her, you are such a foxy lady. You are such a sexy grandma. That when that king sees you, he's going to want you as his wife. And when he finds out you're married to me, the lady is 100 years old. What happened? Vision! The Spirit of God touched this 90-year-old woman and she was made young. That's how they didn't waver through unbelief. Vision gets you young and attractive. Don't tell them you're married to me. They'll kill me. catching this? I got to close. You see, these visions and these dreams are carried dominion over a 100-year-old body. This ability for Abraham to see brought dominion. No wonder the Bible says, Abraham, against all hope, in hope, believed. No wonder the Bible says, without wavering through unbelief. No wonder the Bible says he could face the fact that his body is good as dead. God gave him a vision that recreated the 100-year-old body, and he was made young again. Am I helping anybody? I want to encourage us to be people who choose to live by faith and not by sight, of natural sight, of a three-dimensional world. Some of us need to understand that the language of the Holy Spirit is vision and dreams. My son, many years ago, stood out the front of this building with me, and he says, Dad, who would have ever thought, as we built this beautiful new facility, Dad, he said, who would have ever thought we'd be looking at this? And I looked at him, I said, hey, me. And if I didn't see it, we wouldn't be in it. Come on. Come on. See this little card here? What do you see? What do you see? What is it you're going to see tonight? To have a faith, eye of faith, to see, to get a promise from the Lord. You can have whatever he says. You can't have what he doesn't promise. Do you know there are over 8,000 promises in the Bible? Did you know that? 8,000. Any one of them are for you, and every one of them are for you. I wonder, when we think about provision for the house. Oh, you go, God, a little dabble, do you? Here you go, God, I'll just give you some leftovers. The pastor's got a vision. He wants to do something great. Well, Lord, here's my contribution. Or whether tonight you might get a hold of a spirit of faith. And you might understand that vision and that dream actually can regenerate you, just like the Spirit of God gave birth to the world in which we live. Just like the Spirit of God gave Abraham the ability to see beyond the natural world. Next Sunday morning, the best part of this sermon's coming. I promise you. Next Sunday morning, I want to show you a story of Jacob in the Old Testament, and the principle of cattle and sheep. And Jacob, who was a schemer and a liar and a manipulator, learned the principle of faith. He learned the principle of visualization. He learned to see what it was he was believing for. And he was even able to outwit the most cunning, deceitful man alive on the planet. And he was blessed beyond words. See this poor brother Jacob? He worked for his uncle for 20 years and had nothing to show for it. He had many wives and a whole lot of children and no material gain whatsoever. How many of you got many wives and a lot of children? You're going to need some money. So now Jacob learns, not through scheming and lying. Jacob, God teaches Jacob how faith works. And the Bible says he went to the mountains, and he brought down all these trees, and he pulled the bark off the trees and began to look at the cattle that was all solid in color, and he began to see them spotted and speckled. And Jacob worked out a deal with Laban. Here's what we'll do. Take all the spotted and all the speckled animals out and just leave the solid ones. And now, from now on, my salary, my income, my wage will only be the spotted and the speckled animals. And Laban thinks this brother's an idiot. And Laban agreed to it so quickly it was ridiculous. You're on. But Jacob calls the cattle as the cattle came down to water, as they came down to mate, he built a wall. That's why we've got that brochure. That's why we got the brochure of the branches in front of Norfolk and in front of Richmond. We're showing you a picture of what we're believing for. We don't have it yet, but we have it in the name of Jesus. And we're putting that in front of us to give us a vision of what we're believing for. And the Bible says that Jacob, when he looked at them, animals don't have faith. Animals didn't do this. Jacob's faith did it. Jacob's vision saw it. Jacob's dream saw it. And then they reproduced, and every animal that was solid in its color gave birth to spotted and speckled. That was the deal. Whatever spotted, whatever speckled, that'll be my salary. You'll know, Laban, if I'm ripping you off, because if they're solid, they're yours and I've stolen them. But if they're speckled and if they're spotted, they're mine. Come on. He began to get blessing by learning the principle of faith.